Speaking at the end of his life, David could say, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His message is on my lips," in 2 Samuel 23. When Handel composed the Messiah, he said that he felt as if he was in the presence of God every moment. David, too, experienced the anointing of God upon him as he wrote the songs. One of the scrolls from the Dead Sea Caves said that David wrote 3,600 psalms. And well, he could have done. Many songwriters such as Charles Wesley, Fanny Crosby and others have written thousands. David was open-hearted, prepared to be real and truthful with himself and share his feelings with others. And we love that. He told it like it was. He wore his heart on his sleeve. The Psalms are straight from the inner being, poetic and powerful. They speak today to us as much as they did 3,000 years ago. No other songs have been sung so much. David is the music maker of all time. Music is a mood changer, and it is medicinal. Animals are musical, from mice to monsters of the deep, not just our feathered friends. When David, and most likely other musicians as well, played for Saul, it relieved his depression. Music, as millions know, can soothe and calm the troubled soul. It worked for Saul. But David's songs were more than nerve-calming and peace-giving music. They drew people to God, opened hearts to prayer and praise, and filled people with truth and hope. Music is God's invention. It says that the Israelites excelled in music, and in later years the Assyrian king Sennacherib demanded male and female musicians when he had defeated King Hezekiah as tribute. And music brought the prophet Elisha closer to the Lord. It says in 2 Kings 3, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Music was part of early Christian worship. The only time it speaks of Jesus singing is when he and the disciples left the Last Supper for Gethsemane. It was a moment of deep emotion for the Lord as he was facing the cross. The letters of Paul and James encouraged the new Christians to sing, and Paul put his preaching into practice when he was in jail. To the Ephesians, he said, "Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord." James put it this way, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Many modern songwriters have marvelously enhanced the worship of the church, and thousands of the old hymns of 100 and more years ago still take us to the throne of God. In 1 Samuel 16 it says, "Whenever God's Spirit came to Saul, David took the lyre and strummed a tune. Saul got relief from his terror and felt better, and the evil spirit left him." Many Christian songs have been written from experiences in life that have changed and transformed people. Songs such as "How Great Thou Art," written when the author contemplated the majesty of God. It is no secret. What God can do was written as a result of the writer Stuart Hamblin's conversion. And when he explained to the actor John Wayne that it was no secret what God could do, he said, "That sounds like a good tune." Joseph Scriven wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus," to bring comfort and assurance to his mother. "Even abide with me," was the prayer of a dying minister. Worship can never take the place of the Word of God, but it must be a vital part of every Christian's daily life. A song can be much more than worship. It can be personal encouragement to continue following Jesus and a building up of faith. So, let us get singing.